It's entitled The Valleys. And for 4 weeks, we'll take next week off so we can enjoy our children's musical. But we're going to be looking at valleys, real valleys that are part of your existence. Some of them are places you can visit if you would like to. For example, we begin today by talking about the Valley of the Kings. This is where ancient pyramids meet modern tourist cell. It's nestled on the bank of the Nile, just a stone's throw from Luxor. The Valley of the Kings is the ultimate playground for history buffs and adventure seekers. There are there, and you can count them, 6 royal tombs crammed full of treasures. If you go and visit, you might feel like Indiana Jones, minus the fedora and the bullwhip. And if you go like weather, and if you feel a little cold today, this is the place for you. You can go there. Experience temperatures, about 100 degrees in the summertime. And so you want to make sure you slap on the sunscreen, you want to hydrate, or unless you want to become one of the ancient relics yourself. And speaking of relics, the most famous discovery in the Valley of Kings? The treasures of Tutankhamun, or as we like to call him, King Tut. He is the original king who made mummies cool again. His tomb was discovered in 1922, complete with, some would say, a curse, but enough stuff to make any Egyptian bazaar loaded with goodies. So pack your bags, get ready for adventure, and visit Tut's tomb away. Now, this public service announcement.
I'd like to talk seriously just for a moment. One of the great art exhibits ever to tour the United States is the Treasures of Tutankhamun, or... But I think it's a national disgrace the way we have commercialized it with trinkets and toys, T-shirts and posters. And about 3 months ago, I was up in the woods and I wrote a song. I tried to use the ancient modalities. I would like to do it for you right now. Maybe we can all learn something from this.
Young man, he never thought he'd see people stand in line to see the boy king.
King Tut.
How funky. Did you do the funky?
Born in Arizona, who did the Babylonia King Tut? King Tut.
Now if I then line up just to see him, I'd take an old donkey. He's my favorite.
Born in Arizona, who is a Babylonian King Tut? Tut, Tut.
Dancing by the Nile.
Disco Tut.
Born in Arizona, got a condo made of stoner. We checked. We didn't find any church in the Southern Baptist Convention that showed that this morning, except us. And so that was a unique experience for you. But most of you can't go visit the Valley of the Kings very easily. But the valley we look at today, as a matter of fact, the valley we look at today is Shadow Valley. And believe it or not, all of you are very familiar with it. And so we're going to give you some very practical, real ways to experience the valleys that we go through in life. And hopefully, understanding how important they are and how essential they are for you in your journey of faith. And so if you would, let's stand as we get ready to sing together this morning and worship. A series called The Valley Begins, and it is in the valleys that we discover just how real God is. We've just been through a series where we've talked about becoming a grinder. In other words, taking the call of God lives seriously. Call of God to take up your cross daily and follow Him. As you take up your cross daily and you follow Him, you love God, you love others, and you will flesh out who He has called you to be. You will do good, and you will become that person that you were created to be. And we shared with you that you want joy in life. If you're going to have joy in life, you only discover that when you embrace the call of God to be a grinder. And that is the call that He's placed on all of our lives. That thought then is, where are we grinding it out at? Where does it happen at? Where does it take place at? And the answer is in this series. And so today we start in the valleys. And this is the first of, like I said, a multi-week series. We're going to look at some valleys that we find in Scripture that really do impact your life so much more than maybe you realize that they do. It's an old story, but as a photographer or a reporter who had been assigned a responsibility of covering what is a fire that is taking place in the valley region, very close to where he was assigned. And so they approved his request to cover the news. And so what he did is he made his way to the airport. As he got to the airport, he was told that there would be an airplane waiting for him. And he got there and jumped out of his car. And there was a plane warming up just outside the hangar. He ran, jumped in, looked at the pilot behind the controls and said, "Let's go." The pilot taxied out, and with a little bit of difficulty in the wind, got the plane up in the air. The reporter thought it was a little odd. Takeoff was so rough, but didn't think that much about it. So once in the air, he looked over at the pilot and said, "Fly over the valley. Make sure you make some real low passes, as low as you can go, so I can take pictures of there on the hillsides, and I can file for my report." And the pilot said, "Say that again." And he said, "Go and take your time, but let's get as low as we can over the valley and get some footage of the fire so I can file my report." And the pilot just looked at him. He said, "You mean you're not my flight instructor?" Because at the end of the day, he had climbed on board and trusted someone who was not qualified to take him where he wanted to go. In life, we do. And we're going to be looking in Scripture, because in Scripture, as we discover these valleys, there, that becomes the source where we really do find a qualified guide of how to get us where we want. And so our first stop today is in the 23rd Psalm, Shadow Valley is what it's called. Now, Shadow Valley, based on Psalm 23, is probably a familiar passage of Scripture to a lot of you. It is a passage that is often used in moments where you are saying goodbye to a loved one. Most of the funeral services or celebrations of life might include the 23rd Psalm. It's a powerful psalm. It's a moving psalm. We're going to unpack it today so you can understand it maybe in a way you haven't before. But it is a psalm that once you understand it, really understand it, is one that you will never forget. And because you're familiar with it, I don't normally do. Usually I use the New International Version of the Bible. Today I'm going to read it from King James, simply because a lot of you have heard it in King James. and you're familiar with it in King James. And so, although my King James is a little rusty, I survived it at 9. I can do it again at 11:15. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Powerful passage, meaningful, and hopefully today it will mean maybe just a wee bit more, because you'll see it with maybe more clarity, or at least a little bit differently. Now, if I were to ask you the question, are you a valley girl, valley guy, you would probably immediately. There's a technical interruption here. Let's see. We got. Sorry about.
All right, we got that. If I were to say, are you a valley girl or valley guy, the way that you answer that question screams volumes about your life. And believe it or not, how you answer that is important. I want you to know that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there's only one answer to that question. Yes. See, because Jesus Christ, you are a valley girl or valley guy, whether you realize it or not. But it probably doesn't mean what you think it means. See, because valleys are often places of hardship, but they also are places of profound with God, a place where we can deepen our faith, where we can understand and we can discover, places where we become the best version of ourselves. And so today, we talk about in Scripture is referred to as the valley of the shadow of death. Tough, hard place to be. And God always has an interesting way of timing things and working things out and how they fit and how lives collide with particular passages. And I can't remember the last funeral I went to wasn't used, because it brings comfort. Today, we have someone worshiping with us who's unexpectedly lost his mom yesterday. And so, Robert, you have our prayers, my brother. Robert, let me know. He had to be here today. He had to be close to the family of God. So you make sure you love on him today. Hurting a little bit today. And gets here and the pastor's talking about the 23rd Psalm. I'm sorry, but yeah, it'll work. But I think what you have to remember is you've got to remember the context of this psalm. And if you've ever asked me to do a funeral, if I that I have done, you have heard me talk about this because I think it's crucial. I think any pastor worth their salt, if he has the opportunity, especially in a funeral setting, should mention this. And so if you have your Bibles, and if you got the old guard Bible, you're not using an app, this might be easier for you. But if you got an old school Bible with pages and all that kind of good stuff, 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm is a valley psalm. And here's how you know. Go back and turn the page to the 22nd Psalm. And you read the 22nd Psalm, and there's a It sounds very familiar. My God, why have you forsaken me? The words that Jesus used on the cross. See, the 22nd Psalm is a mountain psalm, but it's a psalm to Mount Calvary. And so that mountain talks about the sacrifice that Jesus makes on Calvary for you and I. Important to understand that. You move the 22nd Psalm, you move into the valley, the shadow valley, valley of the shadow of death, the 23rd Psalm, and then turn over to the 24th Psalm. The 24th Psalm is another mountain, Zion, the glorious, holy city of God, that place that we're headed to spend eternity with Him. Some of you are old school in church enough where you've sang the song, I'm marching to Zion, the beautiful, beautiful, the glorious city of God. You didn't know where you're going. Well, this is it. It's the mountain, the city of God. And so isn't it interesting, and is it important to understand, that in the complexity, detail of God's word, that the psalm that most of the world thinks about when they think about death is nestled between two mountains. The mountain makes a sacrifice in Psalm 22. The mountain that we're headed for if we accept Him. And to get from Mount Calvary to Mount Zion, you have to pass of the shadow of death. See, Scripture is put together with such detail that you can't help but fall in love with it, and you can't help but see the pattern that's there. But contrary to what you think, this is not a psalm about death. Death happens in Psalm 22. This is a psalm about what happens when you come off of that mountain valley. This valley is about life. Sure, Shadow Valley, sure, Valley of the Shadow of Death, but this is a psalm that is designed for people who love God on their way to Mount Zion, that glorious city of God. And so to get from one to the other, you have to go through Shadow Valley. And so if you're hear me very carefully today, you are a valley person. You don't have an option. You don't get to opt out of this valley. This is the valley that you travel through. And it ought not to intimidate you. It ought to make you excited. Because by design, Scripture lays it out so clearly, it is the valley of the shadow of death. What do you have to have to have a shadow? You have to have sun. Light. Without light, there's no shadow. And so, obviously, we are moving toward that light from Mount Zion. That's where the shadows are going to come from. But there's light. And so that means that we don't need, and we can navigate whatever shadows are there in the valley because it is a journey that we're taking. And it's a journey that God has created us for. So you are a valley guy. Or you are a valley girl. And that's not a bad thing at all. And if you can remember that, and that changes the way that you will read this psalm forever. And it changes the way that you'll understand the psalm forever. Because this is a psalm about you right now in your journey of faith. And so I want to show you three things about it. Because this is, I don't know if it's the most important, but it's one of the most important valleys we're going to visit. The thing I want you to notice about it is that Shadow Valley is real. Go back and look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For you, there was a commander of a battalion of Roman soldiers that was caught in a battle that took him to territories that map makers had not included on the map. Ancient maps designed, and the known world was laid out and put into a map. And when they got into an area that they didn't know what was there, they would just ornately put around the perimeter of the map dragons or monsters or something that was unknown because they just didn't know what was there, and so they had to kind of complete the map. And so the battalion leader was getting ready to go into an unknown area, and he was wanting some direction or not. And so he sent urgent word back to Rome with this request: please send new orders. We have marched off the map. I don't know if there's a better phrase that describes my life. I have marched off the map. I mean, I've spent a great deal of my adult existence marching off the map, it seems. Because we live in a world where it's quite easy to march off the map. Take a look at the world that we live in, and we feel like we're in uncharted waters. Technology has made us feel that way in some ways. Technology is still rapidly expanding and exploding all around us. Things are happening today that weren't even possible when I was born in the 60s. And yet, sometimes it feels like we've gone way off the reservation as we've chased things. Politically, we're off the map. Politics has changed. The upheaval that's there, the fighting that's taking place, it's always been bad, but it seems worse than normal these days. People's ideologies have become more extreme. We've moved to the edges of what we like and what we don't like. And so we find ourselves in the fighting things, battling things that we don't feel like we're prepared to do. How do you survive that? How do you survive life when you're moving off the map? Well, by looking at the six longest in the Bible, Psalm 23. Believe it or not, that's your guideline for how do you move through uncharted waters. So, see, if you've ever found yourself sitting there thinking to yourself, whew, I'm in over a little bit of my head here, I don't know anymore, Psalm 23 is for you. If you ever feel like I'm a little confused because this is brand new territory, I never thought I would be here, okay, Psalm 23 is for you. If you think to yourself sometimes, life is just moving and changing so quick, it's just not, Psalm 23 is for you because you are living in Shadow Valley. And that's not a bad place because that's where you're supposed to be. Why? Because you accept Jesus and his life, that's Mount Calvary. He did what he needed to do on Calvary. He died so that you could have life. And he takes you and he begins that life as you move through Shadow Valley headed for Mount Zion. So you're, matter of fact, Shadow Valley is where you're spending most of your existence once you know Jesus. And it's not an accident. It's very much on purpose. And that's why the psalm is written as it is. That's why that psalm. See, we think about it and we get wigged out because it says the shadow of death. Hey, the shadow of death may loom large, but you have to remember it's only a shadow. The shadows can't hurt you. The great news is that if you're willing to admit that there are times in your life where you feel like you're moving off the map, that you feel like you are out of control, and you feel like you don't know everything that's going on, and you don't know what to do here, you do know what to do. Because we've been talking about it for weeks. See, even in those days when you're wanting direction for your life, and even in those days when you really want God to show you something with some clarity, big picture, you've never had before, and you say, I don't know what to do. Yeah, you do. And I understand when someone says that. They're talking directional, trajectory change, life change. They're talking about something. The reality is we don't tend to get the big stuff. It comes in small bites. And so even when you don't know what to do, you do know what to do if you're a follower. What are you going to do? You're going to get up in the morning, you're going to pick up your cross, and you're going to follow him. You're going to spend the day, and you're going to pray, and you're going to seek out God's face. You're going to be obedient. You're going to spend time in his word, and you're going to love others, and you're going to impact the world. And it's not until you take that small step of what you know to do that you have a chance of finding out that bigger question that you've got. See, we bypass that process. We want big answers for big questions, and we want them right now. But we never take the small steps of faith and obedience we're supposed to take, and we get frustrated because we never get the big answers. Shadow Valley is the journey that you have to go on, and you can't get through it without being obedient. And you'll discover who and what you're supposed to be when you're willing to go. The second thing you need to see about the passage is this, though. Shadow Valley has a tour guide. Shadow Valley has a tour guide. Look at verse 4. It says this, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The imagery of the shepherd's rod and staff means that you're being led by a good shepherd. And it means that his presence is with you, as the passage tells us. Shadow Valley may seem intimidating, and it is very real. You're not going alone. You have a tour guide. And in the shadow of death, we find that God's presence is the light that will all of our fears, every one of them. I want you to do something for me. I want you to take your fingers and hold it, two fingers like this. Okay? And then I want you to cross your fingers. Boom. Got it? Have I got the fingers crossed? Maybe you're not capable of doing that. Then don't worry about it. Just look at the illustration. Everybody got it? Let me see. You guys are doing really good. All right. Hold that thought. You know how to do it. You got the skill set. That's good. See? Look at it. Perfect. Some of you can do it two hands at one time. It's amazing. In our culture, we call that crossing our fingers, right? Cross your fingers. Yeah, we got it. Last night, I was watching the Cardiac Wildcats play once again, come from behind. Game went late, so if I slur words this morning, that's why. I was up too late watching the basketball game. But the game was tight, and they were coming back, and I found myself sitting in the recliner watching the game with my fingers crossed like this. Now, you know what that means, right? What does that mean? Is a little bit of hope, want a little bit of luck, right? Luck, want luck, want luck. I'm sitting there just watching. Come on. It was a dumb thing to do. You know why? Jesus doesn't believe in luck. He never has. Why would he? He's God. But we do that. We understand that means luck, a little bit of hope. Let's say we're talking, and I'm talking to you. Let's say we're having a face-to-face conversation. Right now, I'm talking into a valley. But let's say I'm talking to you, but while I'm talking, I do this with my fingers behind my back. And now we're just going to talk. Talk. And I'm going to nod, I'm going to agree, I'm going to make you promises. But at the end of the day, I'm doing this. What does that mean? I am lying. I'm hedging my bets because we think there's something magical and mystical about crossing your fingers. It's not true. I mean, you can't hold me to that. I had my fingers crossed the whole time I was talking about it. And so we go from hope to lying and not wanting to get caught. But believe it or not, back in the first century, Christians were persecuted. It was an aggressive, ferocious persecution. And if the Roman Jewish leaders found out that you were a follower of the way or follower of the cross, follower of this Christ, they could rat you out. They could arrest you. Worst case circumstances, you could be executed. It could cost you your family. Your wealth, all that you live for. In the first century, if you were having a conversation with someone, you might be in that, and as they're ending the conversation and saying goodbye, they might do this. Because early Christians decided that they needed a hand signal, a code, if you will, to communicate that they were followers of the cross, the way. And you saw it, and you too were a follower of the cross, you would respond back. And in that moment, you would know that you were talking to a fellow believer. If they didn't respond back, they just think you had something going on with your fingers. And that became a hand signal. If you don't remember anything else today, this is what you'll remember. Fingers being crossed was invented by first century Christians. That's where it kind of stepped into the limelight of being mainstream. Now, since that time, of course, for luck and for lying, but it really was a sign of life. And you have to understand that in our world, in our life, death on the cross is what gave us life. The man's name is Ross Cheeto. He is director of emergency services for Beaver County, Pennsylvania. He was the person in charge of picking up body parts from the 132 in the ill-fated USA Flight 427. It crashed on its way from Chicago to Pittsburgh. When he was asked what it was like to pick up those bodies that were so badly damaged, he confessed the sight that affected him first was when he came upon a person who was still strapped in their seat, sitting there with both hands, with fingers crossed in their lap. He said, that was an image I could never get out of my mind, because they were hoping for a that would keep them alive. At the end of the day, that symbol was invented by Christians. And indeed, it is a symbol of life. Life. See, a lot of people try to get through life with a little bit of luck. They want a little bit of luck. A little bit of luck will get them through life. And there are a lot of people who have decided that that's how they're going to roll. That's how they're going to face life. And they're going to trust luck to get them through. Some people, they believe that Scripture's not true. And they spend their life just stumbling over what they believe to be a lie. And they miss the reality of what God has done. But others who are wise enough to follow the tour guide discover that it really is a symbol of life. And it means together we don't have to worry about it being a lie, and we don't have to worry about holding on to luck, because we have a tour guide that gets us where we need to go. See, in the valley, we don't have to sweat the journey that we're on, because the one who is guiding us through knows the way to go. And so this passage really is a passage about life. And it's a passage that all of us have to deal with, because that's the journey that we're on. The third thing I want you to see is this: Shadow Valley is also life-changing. Verse 5 says this: you prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. See, you don't just survive in Shadow Valley. In Shadow Valley, you thrive. In the valley, we're equipped, we're empowered for what lies ahead. And you should take encouragement in that. Because think about the implications of what it means that as we move through Shadow Valley, there's going to be some that don't like it. Here's what I can promise you. If you choose to follow Jesus, you're going to run into people who don't like that choice you've made and want to argue about that, and maybe want to persecute you about that just a little bit. And yet think about what this promises. This promises that when you're moving through the shadow, that even in the presence of your enemies, the King, the Creator, is putting a feast out on a table so you can eat in the presence of your enemies. So even when your enemies are hating you as much as they hate you, even when they are wanting to hurt you as much as they do, you are at a table eating a gourmet feast. And you know what? That makes them even angrier. Because you are now sitting at the table of the King, as a child of the King, and you're getting the goodness and the bounty and the blessings of God. There's nothing like it. It's a meal that you get to have on a regular basis because you're moving through Shadow Valley. Men, tonight, we're going to share a meal together. 6:22, you need to be here. Kickoff's at 6:30. It is our men and boys Super Bowl party. And we want you to be here tonight. We want you to be a part of it. It's going to be fun. Some of you noticed in the back of the room that monstrosity that's sitting back there leaning against the wall. See, we were asked the question, well, are you going to watch the NFL halftime show and see a Bad Bunny? Yes. The answer is no, we're not. I mean, Bad Bunny may or may not put on the dress. He's made some really rough statements. And Bad Bunny, you expect Bad Bunny to do that. You know why? Because he's a Bad Bunny. But some will also going to watch the TPUSA alternate. We're not going to do that either, because nobody there I want to see. And so what we're going to do instead is this. When halftime comes, we're just going to leave the TVs on, turn the volume down, and we're going to settle in front of this monstrosity. This creation of chaos is where we will determine how strong you really are. See, tonight, the men's Super Bowl party, boys will become men. Men will become legends. And legends will leave legacies. And it starts with this game right here. Because as you can see on this ladder, there are soup bowls. And so tonight at halftime, we will crown the king of the 434 Super Bowl Challenge. Everyone gets a chance to participate. Everyone will have an opportunity to prove their manliness. And when we're done with this tonight, we will know who the king of the Super Bowl really is. You say, well, if I come, what do I need to do? You need to bring food, because it's really all about the food. There's no cost of admission to play this game except the food you bring. When you play this game, you say, well, I win. What do you get if you win? You get cash. Cash. We're giving cash. Catholic. Hey, bingo. And so we are going to put the cash in a soup bowl, present it to you, take a picture of the Super Bowl champion. Doesn't matter. In the presence of your enemies, you'll be champion. And see, for us as followers, we get in Shadow Valley. That was a long commercial. Be here tonight. But for Shadow Valley, we get the chance to know that the valley, it's not a prison. It's a passage to the promise of his presence. And for you and I, we as followers are given that valley to travel through as a gift from God. For you history buffs in the room, you know, or geography buffs in the room, you know that the Continental Divide runs and starts in Alaska and can be traced all the way through down to the tip of South America. If you were to look at the 48 states, United States, and try to track it, you would find out that the Continental Divide begins in the northwest of Montana. It rolls through the Rocky Mountains. It goes down to the southwest tip of New Mexico. What you may or may not know historically is that it is the head of the Pacific and Atlantic Ocean, meaning that on either side of the Continental Divide, that determines which direction the water will flow toward which coast of the United States of America. So in theory, if a drop of rain, a single drop of rain, were to fall and hit the Continental Divide, it will either then go down and head toward the Pacific Ocean, or if it moves over less than 1 foot, that drop of water, in theory, will run down, eventually hit the Mississippi Valley, Mississippi River, end up in the Gulf, will end up in the Atlantic Ocean. The funny thing about it, both drops are very much the same, but their destiny is determined by which valley they move into. And so hear me very carefully when I say this. If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't get the luxury of moving through the valley of the shadow of death. Because to take the journey that puts you in the valley, there's only one starting place, Mount Calvary. And you will start in Mount Calvary, and you will move off Mount Calvary into the valley that moves you to Mount Zion. if you choose to reject Jesus, if you choose to reject the things of God, if you really do believe it's a lie and you think that it's not true and you don't believe what the Bible says and you don't believe the complexity of it and how it's put together with the detail that it is, then you can simply say, I shadow. I bypass Shadow Valley. And then making that decision, this is a decision you've made, and it's terrifying. If you choose to bypass Shadow Valley, you're basically saying, I want to take the full brunt of death, like a head-on train collision. I want all that it can do. I want it to pack its wallop. I want it to over and destroy me, because that is what death will do. And that is your choice. The great news, and it is great news, nobody gets shadow. Shadows can't hurt you. And if there's a shadow, there's a source of light. And we find out in God's word that source of light is Him. Jesus said, I am light. And so, you don't have to experience Shadow Valley. You say, I don't want it. I don't want to see it. And what you're saying is something that's far from any shadow you'd ever meet. You're basically telling death you want to take it full bore, and it will destroy you because you're not in the valley where you need to be. Question I asked you earlier, are you a valley girl? You a valley guy? The answer is yes. You want to be. And you want to be living your life there because it is in Shadow Valley, and it is only in Shadow Valley that we have life. Outside of it, you're already dead. You just don't know it yet. Choose life. Choose Shadow Valley. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, our lives are a series of choices that we get the privilege of making because you've given us another day of life, another day to breathe, another day trip, this orbit on planet Earth, and discover whatever it is that's in front of us that you put in front of us for this day. But and there are some who, for whatever reason, have just chosen not to take you at your word and not willing to believe and trust and follow you. They've made a choice to bypass Shadow Valley. And instead, they've chosen something that is far more terrifying. And just as and they've chosen to face death head on. It's their choice. It's not what we were designed to do. It's not the way it was intended to be. It's not what you created us for. And yet, our stubbornness, our ignorance, our bullheadedness, we choose it. So my prayer this day is for anyone who has not made the decision to believe and follow you, that this would be their day that they would decide to do so. That this would be the day that they would choose to accept your gift of eternal life. That they would begin their journey on Mount Calvary, that cross, and understand that you came from that cross and you went into a tomb and came back to life to give to us eternal life as a gift. You had told us it was coming. The psalmist gave us glimpses and hints of what was to come years before you were ever here on earth. And it's our choice. If there's someone in this room who's never made the decision to believe and trust and follow Jesus, our worship flyer has just a little checkbox on it that says, I want to accept Jesus as Savior. They would just check that box, give us her name, put in our giving kiosk on the way out the door, and give us a chance to follow up with them and chat with them about how that decision can be made. If they're watching online, live right now, or on demand later, address is on the screen. They would just send us an email and say, oh, I want to accept Jesus as Savior. It would give us a chance to follow up with them and contact them, send them some on their journey, but also encourage them to find a place that they can connect and call home. Lord, there are many in this room who have already made you. We've already accepted your gift of eternal life. And while we've accepted the gift of eternal life, if we were to be honest, we're not living an abundant life. Because we're still away. And we're trying to pick and choose how to follow, what it means to follow, what it looks like. And so the abundant life is elusive, and we can't seem to find it. Today, help us understand as we take this step into the first of a series of valleys that the abundant life that you created us for can't be found outside of Shadow Valley. It's a journey we all have to take. We're not alone. You're with us each step of the way. And because you are a tour guide who knows where we're going, you will help us to see and discover exactly what that we are missing in our lives, that we need in our lives, and it will bring us the joy of knowing the fullness of you. Prayer this day, that we would not settle for anything less. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.